out of the equation, which was becoming more and more difficult with every passing day. Heck, she'd been fighting her attraction to him since the first day he'd walked into the convenience store and flirted with her. Having spent time with him outside of work and after everything they'd shared in the past 24 hours, she couldn't deny her feelings for him were intensifying quickly. He was the kindest, most caring, and honorable man she'd ever met, despite his own damaged past, and even though he was helping her right now and seemed willing to let her stay here with him as long as she needed, she'd learned from experience that nothing this good could last forever. It never did. Something always happened to remind her that she wasn't worthy of being loved, which connected to another deep fear of hers, that she didn't deserve to be happy, not when she'd been the one to survive the fire that had killed her entire family. Even after all these years, the guilt and grief still had the ability to consume her and fill her with overwhelming sadness. The sound of someone entering the house from the garage pulled her out of her dismal thoughts. She glanced down the hall just as Levi walked into the kitchen, carrying a flat cardboard box and a plastic grocery sack. She moved off the couch to join him, inhaling the delicious, savory scent of the pizza he'd brought home with him, a treat she hadn't enjoyed in way too long. Her mouth watered when he opened the lid and she saw the pepperoni, mushrooms, and gooey cheese toppings. She took down two plates, realizing how comfortable she already was in Levi's kitchen, in his home. "Don't get used to it," her subconscious taunted, and she quickly squashed the thought before it could depress her. She handed him one of the plates and took a slice of pizza. "Why is it that I'm always eating when I'm around you?"
"I'm just contributing to those extra pounds you need to gain," he said,
reminding her of their conversation this morning and where he preferred those curves, her hips and butt.
"And I figured you hadn't had anything for lunch, so this should hold us through the night so we don't have to worry about dinner."
She was so used to not eating on a regular schedule that skipping meals happened all the time. "I'll definitely have a full belly when I go to work tonight," she said happily. He looked at her for a long moment as if he wanted to say something, but instead he glanced away and served himself a few pieces of the savory pie. They both leaned against the counter near one another, content to eat their pizza right there in the kitchen. After a few bites, she broke the easy silence that had settled between them.
"Did you get all your errands done?"
"Yes."
He held his plate with one hand and reached into the front pocket of his jeans with the other. Withdrawing a small wad of bills, he handed it to her.
"This is yours."
Tentatively, she took the money, completely confused.
"Mine?"
She shook her head and frowned, trying to wrap her mind around how he could have gotten the stolen money back.
"Where did you get it?"
"It's not the money that was missing from your room," he said, dispelling that notion. "But I did stop by the motel's office to report the break-in and get you a refund on the rest of your week's payment, since you're not staying there any longer."
She stared at him in disbelief.
"I'm shocked they gave it back to you."
He shrugged, as if it weren't a big deal.
"The guy needed a little motivation to hand over the cash, and I gave it to him."
Setting the money aside, she grinned in amusement, certain she knew what the motivating factor had been.
"You flashed your badge and played the big bad cop, didn't you?"
He chuckled unapologetically.
"I might have."
"Well, thank you," she said sincerely. "I appreciate it."
It wasn't much money in the scheme of things, certainly not as much as had been stolen, but every dollar made a difference to her and her future. They finished their pizza, and even though she got the impression that other things were on Levi's mind, based on his contemplative expression, he didn't share whatever had him distracted. She helped him wrap up the leftovers in tinfoil and put them in the refrigerator. While he took the cardboard box outside to the trash, she set their plates in the dishwasher and wiped down the area, enjoying the domestic chores. The plastic sack he'd brought in with him earlier was at the far end of the counter, and she grabbed the bag and reached inside to put away whatever he'd bought. She pulled out a black box of Magnum condoms just as she heard Levi walk back into the kitchen. She glanced up at him with wide eyes, and he gave her a sexy grin.
"What's the matter?"
he asked, humor lacing his tone as he approached her.
"Too presumptuous of me?"
After what had happened this morning between them, in bed and in the shower, she didn't blame him for purchasing the protection. With her staying here under the same roof as him, they both knew that sex was inevitable. But she raised a brow and couldn't resist teasing him a bit. "Presumptuous because you bought the condoms or because you got the magnum size?" His laugh was low and wicked as he pinned her against the counter purposefully, his eyes blazing with heat and desire as he looked down at her parted lips.
"Sweetheart, you had your hand wrapped around my dick this morning, and as much of it as you could handle in your mouth. Maybe you need a reminder of what you're dealing with?"
The question was more like a salacious dare, and her body responded with a rush of moisture between her thighs.
"Yeah, maybe I do."
He dipped his head so his warm breath touched the shell of her ear.
"Then let's get you reacquainted with the length and width of my dick, so there's no doubt in your mind about the size."
Grabbing her hand, he pressed her palm against the fly of his jeans and curled her fingers around the substantial erection already forming.
"And since your hand and mouth are having a hard time remembering the exact dimensions of my cock, let's see how it measures up in your tight pussy."
Oh, God. The man's mouth was so filthy, his words so obscene, and it made her hot and wet as hell. She wanted everything he was offering, except the timing couldn't be more wrong.
"We can't," she managed, her disappointment clear in her voice. "I have to leave for work soon."
The lust in his gaze cooled a few degrees, enough for her to see the uncompromising glint in his eyes as he looked directly into hers.
"You're not going in tonight."
She stiffened against him. What the heck was he talking about?
"Of course I am."
"No, you're not,"
he reiterated, his expression unflinching.
"I made a call to the store manager and told him that you quit."
She gasped, shock rendering her momentarily speechless as she absorbed what he'd just said. She knew he hated where she worked, but she couldn't believe he'd do something so rash that directly affected her livelihood.
"Levi, I need that job."
Panic immediately settled in, and she tried to move away from him. He grasped her hips, keeping her right where she was.
"Calm down, sweetheart," he said in a placating tone. "I promise you have a job, a new one, where you'll be safe and you don't have to worry about some prick pointing a gun at your head again. You'll even make more money than you do at the store."
Her head was spinning as she tried to make sense of what he was saying.
"I don't understand."
He smiled, though she didn't miss the cautious look in his eyes as he continued to gauge her reaction.
"My brother Clay is hiring you to work at his bar as a cocktail waitress. He pays all his employees way above minimum wage, plus you take home any tips that you make, and he'll give you as many hours as you want or need, and you start tomorrow night."
Completely overwhelmed, she stared up at him as the realization of what he'd done sank in, what he'd done for her. It was such a thoughtful and kind gesture, and it meant so much to her that it was difficult to hold back the tears threatening to emerge.
"Levi."
He pressed a finger to her lips, cutting her off.
"Please don't be mad,"
he said in a rush, the look in his gaze so caring it made her heart hurt.
"I know I should have asked you first, but I didn't want to give you the chance to argue or say no. I can't stand the thought of you working at that store after what happened to you."
His intentions were so good and pure, and she wasn't used to anyone being so selfless on her behalf.
"I'm not upset," she said, swallowing back the tightness gathering in her throat. "Actually, I'm very grateful. Thank you."
He exhaled a deep breath, his relief so profound that the tension in his body eased, and he smiled at her again.
"It's a good thing you agreed, because I seriously thought I was going to have to get out the handcuffs and use them to keep you here."
She didn't miss the devious look in his gaze, and the thought of being bound by Levi's handcuffs and letting him have complete control over her pleasure like he had this morning sent a secret thrill rippling through her. Now that they had all night together, she wanted to take advantage. Meeting his gaze, she gave him a sultry, inviting smile as she lifted up on her toes and brushed her mouth against his in a tempting kiss.
"Go ahead and cuff me, Officer Kincaid," she dared in a seductive whisper. "You know you want to."
"Jesus,"
he said on a low, fierce growl that made her shiver with anticipation. He grabbed one of her hands in his, then picked up the box of Magnum condoms she'd set on the counter and led her out of the kitchen. She thought for sure they were headed for his bedroom, but he stopped in the living room, in front of the soft, plush couch.
"Stay right here,"
he ordered, tossing the box of protection onto one of the cushions.
"I'll be right back."
She didn't have to wait long for him to return. While in his bedroom, he'd taken off his t-shirt and now only wore his jeans and a wicked-as-sin smile on his gorgeous face. His feet were bare, and a pair of silver shackles dangled from his hand. Oh my God, they were really going to do this. She was going to allow this man to restrain her and take her however he desired, and every part of her wanted him to. He stood beside her, his dark green eyes searching hers.
"Are you sure you're okay with this?"
She nodded. "Yes."
"Then let's get you undressed."
He dropped the cuffs next to the box of condoms, then slid his hands beneath the hem of her t-shirt, pushing the material slowly up her body. She shivered as his fingers skimmed along her bare flesh, and she raised her arms over her head so he could remove the top. Reaching behind her, he unclasped her bra and let that fall to the floor, too. Her breasts swelled beneath his avid gaze, and she bit back a moan when he tugged her nipples into tight, aching points before trailing his fingers down to the button of her jeans. Leisurely, he unfastened them and lowered the zipper. He shoved the denim down to her thighs, then let her take them the rest of the way off. That left her in just plain, boring cotton panties, but the way his hungry gaze roved down the length of her made Sarah feel incredibly sexy, and even beautiful. He picked up the handcuffs and turned back toward her.
"Are those real ones?"
she asked curiously. They certainly looked like it.
"Yes, they're my service handcuffs, and I can't wait to see them on you,"
he said gruffly. She held out her hands, offering herself to him without hesitation.
"Then cuff me, Officer Kincaid," she said huskily. "Make me yours."
"Make me yours." Sarah's words sparked something hot and possessive in the depths of Levi's stomach and made him realize in that moment just how much he wanted this woman to be his, and more than just physically. It was a crazy thought, considering he'd spent his entire adult life avoiding committed relationships and never investing his emotions when it came to sex or females in general. But as he looked at Sarah now, standing in front of him, vulnerable and nearly naked, with her arms extended toward him with such sweet acceptance, something inside of him shifted in a way he'd never experienced before, because he'd always been too guarded. Knowing Sarah's past and her issues with trusting people made this acquiescence of hers all the more humbling, and he saw it for the gift that it was. Her blue eyes were wide and guileless, and her body completely relaxed, yielding to him even before he demanded it. She was fucking perfect for him in every way. He'd restrained other women because of his need for control, but Sarah was the polar opposite of every one of those brief, short-lived encounters. She wasn't one of those uncomplicated, mindless fucks he'd sought out in the past, and he refused to treat her the same way. But he wasn't going to lie. The thought of his handcuffs dangling around her delicate wrists made him hard as granite. Restricting her ability to use her hands became all about him heightening her pleasure in every way imaginable, and not about his own personal hang-ups. She expected him to secure her hands in front of her, but he did the opposite and drew her arms behind her back, where he proceeded to latch the steel loops around her small wrists. He made sure they weren't too tight, then couldn't resist caressing a finger slowly down the indentation of her spine. She shivered, and the soft, delightful moan she released went straight to his already pulsing dick. She turned her head and tried to look at him.
"Is this where you get to frisk me?"
she asked breathlessly, playfully. He smiled.
"You want to be frisked?"
She nodded her head.
"Yes, please, Officer Kincaid."
Still standing behind her, he hooked his thumbs into the waistband of her panties and pushed them down her legs until they dropped to her feet. Moving closer to her backside, he nudged his knee between her thighs.
"Spread those gorgeous legs for me, dirty girl. I want to make sure I do a very thorough search.
She widened her stance, then sucked in a quick breath when he reached around and took her breasts in his hands, fondling them and lightly pinching her nipples.
What are you hoping to find?
She asked, oh so innocently.
A soaking wet pussy.
He breathed into her ear as his splayed hand slid down her stomach toward his destination.
It's my job to make sure that this body is ready to be fucked, Magnum style.
She laughed softly, then moaned when his fingers delved into her soft folds of flesh, already slick with desire.
Am I wet enough for you?
Not yet.
He bit the bare curve of her neck, drawing a startled gasp from her that made him smile.
But you will be after I make you come.
He released her and stepped away, and she made a sound of protest at the loss of his touch.
Don't worry, sweetheart,
he said as he walked around in front of her and gently trailed the backs of his fingers along her flushed cheek.
I'm not going to leave you hanging for long.
Initially, he'd had every intention of bending her over the couch so he could drive into her from behind, hard and deep, but he quickly changed his mind because everything about being with Sarah was different. She was different, and when he pushed his cock into her this first time, he wanted to see her face as her tight pussy gradually stretched to accommodate all of him. He wanted to watch as she unraveled just for him, and wanted to feel her internal muscles clench around him as she came all over every inch of his shaft right before he let go of his own release. He quickly shucked his jeans and briefs, then sat down on the sofa in front of where Sarah was still standing. Her glazed eyes took in the hard, thick length of his erection as he tore open a condom and sheathed himself. She licked her lips, and as much as he'd love to have her delectable mouth on him again, he wanted deep inside her more.
Come here and straddle me,
he ordered softly, and when she stepped forward, he grabbed her waist and helped her to kneel above his lap. She started to lower herself, but he shook his head and kept her poised above his thighs.
Not yet,
he said, smoothing his hands down her hips and along the creases of her thighs until his thumbs were spreading her pussy open so he could see all the pretty folds in between.
I want you wetter than you already are, so you can take all of me.
He pushed two long fingers inside of her, rubbed his thumb against her swollen, needy clit, and she dropped her head back on a shuddering moan. He continued to stroke her, slow and deep, enjoying the front row seat he had to watch her uninhibited response to every seductive touch, every intimate caress that brought her closer and closer to where he needed her to be. With her hands cuffed behind her back and her knees braced apart, there wasn't much she could do except rock her hips back and forth and ride his hand in an attempt to chase her elusive release. His dick twitched impatiently, and then he finally felt what he'd been waiting for, the fluttering sensation around his fingers, the fresh rush of moisture that coated his hand, and the inarticulate sound she made as an orgasm started to roll through her. That orgasm belonged to him. He wanted it, needed to be a part of it, and a part of her. Knowing he had to act fast, he pulled out his fingers, aligned the head of his cock to the entrance of her body, then took hold of her waist and pulled her down hard at the same time he bucked his hips upward, burying himself to the hilt. She cried out at the initial deep, endless thrust that filled her completely and literally stole his breath from his lungs. And before he could recover, his sweet, sexy, beautiful Sarah went wild on him, her pretty breasts bouncing enticingly as she slid up and down his throbbing shaft in jerky movements, her thighs clenched against his as she undulated her hips while grinding her pussy hard against his pubic bone for added friction for both of them. It was all too much. Sensory fucking overload. Belatedly, Levi realized why he didn't normally care for this position, why he'd always avoided it in other encounters. Because despite Sarah having her hands restrained, she was still able to strip him of control, and for the first time in his life, he didn't try and take it back. He let her have it. He fucking encouraged her to take it. He tunneled his fingers into her hair, cupping the back of her head and forcing her dark blue gaze to meet his.
Fuck me, Sarah, he commanded gruffly. However you want, Whatever it takes to make you come.
She whimpered as she moved more rhythmically on top of him, then leaned into him and brought her lips close to his.
Kiss me, Levi,
she said, her voice ragged with need. Tightening his fingers in those silky strands, he slanted his mouth across hers. She welcomed the thrust of his tongue, sucking on it and making him groan low in his throat. Perspiration slickened their bodies as they strained against one another, but it still wasn't close enough, hard enough, deep enough. He feared it never would be. He released her hair and grabbed her ass in his hands, hauling her forward in a way that scraped across her clit and made her entire body quake. Desire, lust, and need collided inside of him, sending Levi over the edge as Sarah's inner walls gripped him tight, squeezing every ounce of pleasure out of him and milking his cock until he had nothing left to give, until he knew he'd never be the same. Sarah had no idea, but she fucking owned him. Chapter 10. With Sarah collapsed against his chest, her body lax and her breathing gradually returning to normal after what had just happened between them, Levi wrapped an arm around her waist and managed to reach down to the floor and grab his jeans without letting her fall off his lap. She barely moved, testament to just how spent she was, and it made him smile. She made him smile. Somehow, and in a very short time, she'd managed to make him feel things he'd never allowed to slip past the walls he'd built around his heart. Hope, need, and an unfamiliar yearning that was startling in its intensity. Shockingly, he didn't fight the sensations. No, for the first time in his life, he welcomed them, even realizing that, in the end, she could still walk away. But he'd make it damn difficult for her to do so when or if the time came. He managed to retrieve the key from the front pocket of his pants, and he released Sarah's wrists from confinement. Her arms flopped to her sides, and he chuckled as he massaged them, just in case they'd fallen asleep. Hell, he was beginning to think that she'd fallen asleep. He stroked his hands up and down her back.
Hey, you still with me?
Barely,
she murmured, her warm breath caressing his neck before she slowly lifted her head and met his gaze.
What just happened?
He chuckled. She looked dazed and bewildered in the best way possible, and he couldn't resist teasing her.
I think you just got well acquainted with a magnum-sized cock.
An adorable blush swept across her cheeks, even as she rolled her eyes at him.
Yeah, that might take some getting used to,
she said with a cute little smirk. Not that I'm complaining, because you felt pretty damn amazing.
It was all you, sweetheart,
he said, enjoying this light-hearted banter between them that felt so easy and natural.
I need to go and clean up. How about you stay here and I'll be right back?
Okay,
she said, and crawled over to the long section of the couch where she could still lie down. He stood up and covered her with the lightweight blanket he kept folded over the sofa, then disappeared into the bathroom. He returned a few minutes later, still naked, and settled beneath the covers next to her. She immediately snuggled against him, so warm and soft and content, and he realized for the first time ever that the couch was a great place to cuddle. Wait, had the word cuddle seriously just entered his vocabulary? Yes, yes it had, and Jesus, Mason would have a field day with that one. Mentally shaking his head, Levi tucked Sarah into the crook of his arm, wanting to keep her just like this, safe and secure so nothing could ever hurt her. At least she was no longer working at the Circle K in a shitty neighborhood, but he couldn't stop thinking about what the motel clerk had said to him earlier today about some guy asking about Sarah.
Can I ask you something?
Sarah said, taking the words right out of his mouth before he could ask her what was on his mind.
Sure.
He absently caressed his hand down her bare arm, figuring he'd answer her question first, then she'd owe him one in return.
You can ask me anything.
Anything?
She lifted her head and grinned at him, her eyes sparkling playfully.
You sure about that?
He hesitated before replying. He had no idea what she wanted to know, but he was shocked to realize that he truly didn't mind sharing things about himself with her. Maybe because she'd grown up similarly and had a past as painful as his own, it made him easier for him to open up to her. He knew there wouldn't be any judgment, just understanding.
Yeah, I'm sure. What's on your mind?
I really enjoyed what we just did, she said with a genuine smile, though he didn't miss the tentative note to her voice. And I know putting the cuffs on me is all tied into that issue of you being in control, and you've been very clear about that up front, but you said something last night while we were eating dinner that I keep thinking about.
And what's that?
They'd discussed a lot of things last night, mainly her past, while he'd been far vaguer about his. At the time, that had been a deliberate tactic on his end. Her index finger absently traced imaginary patterns on his chest, and her brows knit into a pondering frown.
You made a comment about when you were a little boy, how you were always being threatened to be good or you'd be taken away. Who did that to you?
He exhaled a deep breath and glanced away from her inquisitive gaze. He'd known a personal question had been looming, but he never would have guessed that she'd ask about the most difficult part of his childhood, the one that had shaped and molded him in ways that had affected every aspect of his life because of the dark, ugly secrets he'd been forced to carry and the emotions he'd had to stifle in order to survive. He'd been 5 years old at the time, but now he was a grown man. The devastating, frightening threat his junkie mother had issued couldn't hurt him any longer. He'd always tried to keep that part of his past buried deep. No one knew what he'd endured, not even his brothers, because his mother had used them as part of her intimidation as well. Maybe it was time to let it all out, so he could release the anger and bitterness tied to those memories. When he remained quiet for too long, she laid her head back down on his shoulder.
If you don't want to talk about it, I understand, she said softly.
I do want to talk about it, at least with you.
The words came out before he could think twice about it, but he didn't regret them.
But I have to warn you up front, it's not a pretty story.
He felt her smile against his chest.
You and I have that in common. Neither one of us had a simple or idyllic childhood, so I doubt anything you say would shock me.
He wasn't so sure about that, but as he threaded his fingers through her soft hair, he decided to be completely honest about everything.
You already know about my mother being a junkie and a prostitute. Drugs were all she cared about, and as far back as I remember, up until the age of 5, while my brothers were in school, she'd take me with her on what she'd called her special errands. She didn't want to leave me alone in our apartment and risk someone calling social services, but fuck, I really wish she'd left me behind.
She looked back up at him, her expression pained.
How bad was it?
Really bad, he said,
his voice already feeling raw, his stomach in knots.
First, she had to get money for her drugs, and we'd end up in dark alleys that scared the shit out of me. And she wasn't particular about how she made that cash. She'd make me sit in the back seat of her crappy car while she'd give any random John a blowjob in the front seat, or she'd make me wait all alone in the vehicle while she disappeared into a seedy motel room for an hour in a drug-infested neighborhood where anyone could have taken me. I was 5 fucking years old, he said,
his entire body vibrating with anger. She wrapped her arms tight around him, hugging him in a way he'd never been held before, like a solid anchor in this turbulent sea of emotions he was navigating. Physically, he felt her comfort and support, but she remained quiet, giving him the chance to purge every last repulsive recollection.
I remember men coming up to the car while she was gone and trying to lure me out with candy or a promise of a toy.
Pedophiles, most likely, Levi knew now.
I'd keep the windows up and the doors locked because I was so terrified, but sometimes it was so damn hot that I'd be drenched with sweat by the time she got back into the car. By then, she had the cash she needed, and all that mattered to her was buying that little bag of crack or meth or heroin. She didn't care which. And once she had it, she didn't hesitate to snort the powder or shoot up right in front of me.
He could hear the disgust in his voice, could feel the clench of his jaw as he relived that nightmare.
There were so many times I cried and begged her not to take me, to leave me home. I told her how afraid I was, and there were a few times when I even had a panic attack, but she didn't care. And then I made the mistake of telling her that I was going to tell Clay about her errands, and she completely flipped out on me and went into a rage. She told me to shut the fuck up, that if I said anything to anyone about where we went or what we did, I'd be taken away. I'd never see Mason or Clay ever again.
The heartless bitch had played on his worst fears as a kid, because his older brothers were everything to him, and the only two people in his life he cared about and he knew would make him feel safe. But his own mother had denied him that sense of security. She'd forced him to endure her sordid lifestyle and keep her secrets because he'd been terrified of losing Clay and Mason, of never seeing them again. Beside him, Sarah had stiffened, her body language letting him know that, yeah, he'd shocked her after all. And when she lifted her head once again, the pain shimmering in her eyes made his heart tighten in his chest.
So, in order to cope and control your fears, you shut down in the only way you knew how, she said.
He realized why she understood him so well, probably because she'd done the same thing after that foster family had left her behind.
Yeah, I had to stuff all those emotions deep inside and keep them buried. It all ended when I was finally old enough to go to school at the same time as my brothers, but when my mother passed away when I was 8, everything changed drastically once again.
That's when your brother Clay started raising you and Mason, right? She asked, remembering some of the details he'd shared with her. He nodded.
Yes, and since Clay was always worrying that we'd be separated or taken away if social services ever found out about our situation, he'd always tell me and Mason that we needed to be good and stay out of trouble and not say a word to anyone about our situation. Behaving and doing what Clay said was easy for me, because by then I'd already learned how to control my emotions and keep everything inside. I was straight-laced and disciplined, which was a good thing since Mason was constantly testing Clay's patience and authority.
She reached up and touched his cheek, her fingers warm and soft and soothing.
I'm so sorry you had to go through all that.
He shrugged and gently grabbed her hand, placing it back on his chest, right over his beating heart.
Last night, when I took you back to the motel, it reminded me of the places my mother would take me, and it made me physically ill to think of you staying there.
Which reminded him.
By the way, when I was getting your money back today, the front desk clerk mentioned that some guy had been asking around about you. He wanted your room number, and the asshole gave it to him without getting his name. Not sure if this guy is connected to the break-in, but would you happen to know who this person might be?
With every word he spoke, Sarah's eyes got bigger and bigger. He saw panic and fear collide in the depths as she stared up at him and whispered,
"Oh, God," in a strangled voice. "What if I'd been there last night?"
She abruptly sat up, holding the blanket to her chest as she tried to move away from him. He quickly scrambled upright, too, and caught her arm, refusing to let her go until he had some answers, because something was wrong, very wrong.
Sarah?
Her name was a soft demand for her attention, to snap her out of her haze of distress, but it didn't seem to work.
Who was it?
Her face was pale, her breathing labored as she ran a trembling hand through her hair.
I knew it was just a matter of time, she mumbled,
more to herself than him.
Before what?
He asked impatiently, wanting to shake the answers out of her, but trying like hell not to spook her further. She turned dread-filled eyes to him.
Before he found me.
Jesus Christ, someone was stalking her, Levi realized, and felt as though he'd been punched in the
gut. Who, Sarah?
He clasped her hand in his, trying not to roar in frustration.
Before who found you?
My ex, she finally revealed in a small voice. A guy I'd been dating for a few months.
And with that revelation, so many other things now made sense to Levi. Where she'd worked, the off-the-beaten-path motel she'd been staying at, the cash she'd kept on hand, and her insistence that she was leaving Chicago. His intuition had been right, and he was relieved that he had a few answers, though he suspected there was a lot more she needed to tell him. It didn't seem as simple as a bad breakup with an ex-boyfriend. He forced himself to relax, hoping it would calm her down as well. He sat back on the couch and drew her to him.
Come here,
he said gently, and guided her so she was sitting sideways on his lap. She now had all of the blanket wrapped around her body, which was a good thing considering they were both still naked, and it would have been a hell of a distraction having her ass pressed against his dick. She was staring straight ahead, her vulnerable expression revealing all of her worries. He touched her chin and turned her face toward his so she was looking at him.
You need to tell me what's going on. Straight up, Sarah. No more evading my questions or making excuses.
He needed facts and details in order to help her and understand what he was up against.
Are you running from this guy?
Yes, she said in a barely audible voice. He'd expected as much, but hearing her confirm it made his protective instincts skyrocket into overdrive.
Tell me why.
She shook her head stubbornly. This isn't your problem. He knew she was used to being alone and handling things by herself, but there was no way he was going to let any other man put his hands on her. Ever.
Sweetheart, I'm making it my problem, as of right now. You're going to start at the beginning, and you're going to tell me everything. All of it.
He could see her reluctance, but she finally spoke. His name is Dylan Harper. I met him a few months ago when I was waitressing at a diner. He'd come in every day for coffee and a piece of pie, and he always sat in my section. He seemed like a nice guy, so when he asked me out, I said yes. She picked at a piece of lint on the blanket, averting her gaze as she continued. We dated for about a month. Then one day he told me we were going to a friend's place for a barbecue about an hour and a half away from Chicago, in Fairdale. It was a rural area in the middle of nowhere. It was this small gated community called Sacrosanct, which Dylan told me meant blessed. When we arrived, the only reason we gained entrance was because of a tattoo on the inside of Dylan's wrist that he showed the guy at the security gate. I thought that was odd, but once we were inside, everything seemed normal. At first. She stopped talking, and Levi gently brushed a few strands of hair from her cheek and prompted her to continue.
What do you mean, at first?
There was this huge main house that was beautifully maintained, and around it were clusters of smaller cabins where other people lived. Well over 100, I later found out. The community was fully sustainable, with fields of organic fruits and vegetables, a stable of pigs and cows and chickens, and well water. Everything ran on solar power, so nobody had to leave for anything, but I didn't realize the implications of any of that until I was ready to go, and Dylan told me that this was our new home. Levi's gut twisted with unease.
Couldn't you just leave?
I thought I could, she said quietly as she pulled the blanket tighter around her body. But the main gate was always locked, with a guard who had strict orders on who could come and go, and there was a 10-foot-high block fence around the entire community. It didn't take me long to realize that this place was a cult, and I was being held against my will.
Shit.
He could feel and hear how difficult this was for her to talk about, but he continued to encourage her to go on, to tell the story however she needed to.
What happened?
She swallowed hard. I was placed in a cabin with three other women who were ordered to watch over me, and I had to attend daily rituals where the leader of the group, an older man named Rick, brainwashed members into worshipping him as a holistic being. While everyone seemed in awe of him, I was the only one who had a problem handing over my loyalty, dependency, and trust to a man who controlled everything and everyone in the community. Her bare legs were peeking out of the covers, and he gently trailed his hand along one of them.
How long were you there?
3 weeks. She met his gaze, and he hated how ashamed she looked, as if it had somehow been her fault that she'd been trapped there. I fell into line with the others, only because I knew it would be the only way for anyone to believe that I'd been converted into being a follower, and I'd be able to walk around the place more freely. I also saw a possessive, threatening side to Dylan that scared me, and he made it clear that if I ever tried to leave or escape, he'd find me and bring me back. Deserting the sacrosanct community is considered a punishable offense, but I was desperate to get out of there. Obviously, she'd escaped, and he couldn't imagine how she'd gotten through such a well-guarded place. When she remained silent, he nudged her once again with words.
What did you do?
Every day, I tried to look for a way to get out of there, and after 3 weeks, I noticed at the far end of the secured grounds that there was a thick tree limb overhanging the block wall into the compound, and I knew that was my only hope of escaping. It took me a few days of thinking, but I ended up getting a long line of rope and I threw it over the limb, then used it to help me climb up the wall with my feet until I could grab the top and go over it.
That's pretty damned resourceful,
he said, impressed that she'd figured out a way to utilize the branch.
I was desperate, she said with a small shrug. I had a few things in my backpack and $50 in my pocket that I stole from the main house. I hitchhiked my way to Chicago and had to live on the streets for a while until I could find a job and a place I could afford to live. I still feel so stupid and naive for getting myself into such a bad situation.
Sweetheart, it's not your fault, he said, trying to soothe her. All that matters is that you're out now. You're here with me now and you're safe. I'm not going to let anything happen to you.
She lifted tear-filled eyes to him, which nearly shattered his heart.
You can't make a promise like that. If Dylan tracked me to the motel, he'll find me again.
A shudder racked her body.
And if he gets me back into that compound, I'll never be free again.
If he does find you, I can guarantee that he won't hurt you,
he said fiercely. She shook her head in denial.
You can't protect me forever.
Yes, he could. He caught her chin in between his fingers so she was looking into his eyes. He understood that he couldn't keep her locked up in his house indefinitely, but Levi could keep her safe until he could find this asshole himself and make sure he never touched Sarah again. As a cop, he had resources, and in this instance, he had no problems taking advantage of that support.
Listen to me, he said,
determined to reassure her, to ease the panic reflected in her eyes.
You'll be working at my brother's bar, surrounded by people I trust who are like family to me and my brothers. Clay will make sure that everyone knows about Dylan, and you won't ever be alone. I'll take you to Kincaid's and pick you up, and if I can't be with you, someone I trust will be. Always.
And that was a vow he wouldn't break.
Just until I can save enough and leave,
she insisted, compromising in the only way she would allow.
I don't want to be a burden and inconvenience to you or anyone else.
She was neither to him. In fact, she'd become so much more than what he'd ever anticipated, all in a very short amount of time. But it had become increasingly clear that Sarah believed she was a nuisance because that's how she'd been treated since her parents' deaths. Right now, in this moment, there was no convincing her otherwise. For now, it had to be enough that she trusted him, and Levi refused to give her any reason to regret that choice or do anything to disappoint her like so many other people in her life had.
Let's just take everything one day at a time, okay?
He asked, so she didn't feel pressured to make impulsive decisions based on her unstable emotions right now.
Okay,
she said softly, her expression weary. Satisfied that she'd agreed, he pushed his fingers into her hair at the side of her face and brought her head to his shoulder. He glided his thumb across her soft cheek, and she let out a sigh and snuggled closer. Gradually, her body relaxed against his, and he felt her steady, even breaths against the side of his neck and knew that she'd fallen asleep. He held her for a while, thinking about their conversation while trying to set up a plan in his mind. She was right. Dylan sounded like the kind of guy who wasn't going to give up, which meant Levi needed to be proactive when it came to finding the asshole before he tracked Sarah down again. It wouldn't be easy, considering he didn't have much information on the guy, and the compound in Fairdale wasn't in his jurisdiction as a cop, but that wouldn't stop him from digging up what he could on her ex. Levi waited until later that night when Sarah was asleep in his bed, then grabbed his cell phone and went into the kitchen to make a call. His partner, Nick, picked up on the second ring.
Hey, Iron Man, what's up?
I need to ask a favor,
he said, skipping any idle chit-chat and getting right to the point of the call.
Anything,
Nick replied, immediately on board.
It has to do with Sarah.
Sarah? The woman from the convenience store?
Nick asked, his tone incredulous.
Yeah, that's Sarah. As if there was any other in his life. But Nick wasn't aware of everything that had happened between Levi and Sarah since he'd gotten shot, so he understood his partner's surprise.
Damn, did you finally get lucky?
Nick joked.
Actually, she did agree to a date with me,
Levi said, but didn't elaborate, not when there were more pressing matters to discuss. Instead, he filled Nick in on what had happened after the date, when he'd taken Sarah back to the motel and her confession tonight about being stalked by a controlling, possessive ex who was a member of a cult.
You know, we don't have any authority if he's living in Fairdale,
Nick replied once he had all the facts.
That's out of our jurisdiction.
Yeah.
He rubbed his fingers across his forehead, trying to ease the tension settling there.
What I need is as much information about this guy as you can get for me. His name is Dylan Harper, and all I know is that he's currently living at the sacrosanct compound. I want to pay him a friendly visit as a civilian to make sure he doesn't do anything stupid, if you know what I mean.
There wouldn't be a physical confrontation that jeopardized his job as a cop, but verbally, Levi planned to be very persuasive.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean,
Nick said with a smirk in his voice.
I'll see what I can find out about him this week and get back to you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Levi disconnected the call, feeling marginally better. Now that he had Nick digging up whatever he could on Dylan, tomorrow Levi planned to make sure that both Clay and Mason were apprised of the situation before Sarah started her shift at Kincaid's later that night. He wanted protective eyes on her at all times. If for some reason Levi couldn't be there, then he knew his brothers would provide backup until the issue with Dylan was resolved and Sarah no longer had a reason to run. At least, that's what Levi was hoping. Hearing the familiar padding of footsteps on the wood flooring, he glanced up as Sarah walked into the kitchen, looking drowsy, a little disheveled, and sexy as hell in one of his navy blue Chicago PD t-shirts.
What are you still doing up?
She asked, her voice husky as she walked straight to him and wrapped her arms around his waist as if it was the most natural thing in the world.
I don't like waking up alone.
He didn't know if it was her sleepy subconscious talking or an honest declaration, but he loved that she'd missed him enough to seek him out.
Just taking care of a few things.
Taking care of you.
Come back to bed,
she whispered. It was an invitation he couldn't refuse, even if it was just to hold her while she slept. Chapter 11.
What size jeans do you wear?
Sarah followed Samantha through the women's section of Target, with Katrina trailing behind. Levi had surprised her this morning with the announcement that the two of them were having lunch with Clay and his wife, Samantha, and Mason and his fiancée, Katrina. While eating their meal at an Italian restaurant near Clay's bar, Sarah mentioned to the women that she needed to buy jeans for her shift at Kincaid's later that evening, and they'd both insisted on coming with her.
Last time I bought a pair, they were a size 5, she said as they came to a wall with shelves that held folded pairs of jeans.
Samantha went right for the darker pairs and started looking through the pile. Katrina stopped at a rack of cute dresses and glanced through them, while Sarah gravitated toward a nearby clearance rack to see if she could find anything there. The two women had been so nice to her, and right from the moment she'd met Samantha, she'd noticed that she was the nurturing type. She was also stunningly beautiful and well put together in a polished, sophisticated way. But she looked right at home in Target, and she seemed to know where everything was located. Sarah had never had close girlfriends growing up because of being shuffled through so many foster homes and her fears of getting attached, only to leave people behind, or them leaving her behind. Even as an adult, she didn't have any close friends, so having this girl time with Samantha and Katrina was a nice change, and fun, too. She'd laughed so much during their lunch and already felt a friendship forming, even if it was just for a short while. The men over there look like they're having such a deep, important conversation, Katrina said, her tone amused. But man, do they look damn hot all standing together. Sarah glanced over her shoulder, and sure enough, Levi, Mason, and Clay were in a tight circle in the aisle that separated the women's section from the men's. And yeah, She agreed that all three men were good-looking in their own separate ways. Their arms were crossed over their chests, and all of their expressions were serious as the two older brothers listened to whatever Levi was saying to them.
They're either being serious about something or annoying one another. I'm not sure which, Samantha said with a grin.
Sarah had a feeling they were talking about her. Levi told her that lunch today with his siblings and their significant others was so that she could meet everyone before starting her shift tonight, but she suspected that Levi was letting his brothers know about Dylan. Levi was determined to keep her safe, hence his insistence that he accompany her to Target, which then prompted Samantha and Katrina to join them. Sarah really did appreciate his efforts and knew he'd do his best, but she'd meant what she said when she told him that he wouldn't be able to protect her forever from someone who was highly motivated to find her.
You know, I have to say, I've never seen Levi so smitten with a woman as he seems to be with you, Samantha said as she pulled a folded pair of jeans from a stack and straightened with the pants in her hands.
To be honest, we've never seen him with a woman at all, Katrina added with a grin. So you must be very special to him.
Sarah couldn't stop the warm blush that crept up her neck and over her face. The fact that Levi had never brought a girlfriend around to meet his family and friends was surprising and shocking. But even knowing she was an exception, which she attributed directly to her situation with Dylan and not having a place to live, she refused to read